Okay, we are in Shaar Dalet Parakhes. Let me just open my fan, I'm sorry. At the risk of being repetitive, I just want to make sure that we're up to date in our minds. And that is that the Gemara says Yerushalayim gives at least two metaphors for what Yerushalayim is, and we spent a lot of time on this. But Bekitzer, the Nefesh HaChaim points out these two metaphors. One of them is that the Yerushalayim he oitzarai. It's the oitzer of Yerushalayim. So an oitzer is a keli, which the Torah goes into. So it's a keli. You know, obviously everyone understands that to have a keli and not use it is kind of a waste of the keli. Although, you know, I have a lot of those in my china cabinet, Caleb, that we don't use. It is an outstanding possibility to be able to have a keli. But the other mashal that Chazal has is that it's kav chaymatin. Kav chaymatin is a preservative, and that's a different idea, and that is that, okay, you're giving me the tvua, the Gemara says, you're giving me a tvua, but if you don't put preservative in it, it's just going to get moldy and rot and all that. So there's no point in it. In fact, you're just ruining my tevua. So we have two things. One is the silo, and one is that's your shemayim, and one is the preservative that we put into it. That's the two metaphors of the Gemara. That's already the Gemara's metaphors in Masechta Brachos. And it means to say, Nefesh HaChaim speaks out, that there's really two purposes or two appropriate times for Yerushalayim. And what he means by Yerushalayim, now this is where we need to sharpen our saw today. It's always good to have Yerushalayim, but he's talking like, what, you're only allowed to have it two times? But since Yerushalayim fills two purposes, there's two appropriate times to be mischazik in Yerushalayim and to be loymeid sifrei Yira. Now, the truth is, we didn't talk too much about this. We're just talking about Yerushalayim. But the real point is, what about Yerushalayim? We all have Yerushalayim, God willing. But it's learning Sifrei Yira, meaning Sifrei Yerushalayim. How to define those is a little bit tricky, which I'm going to show you. But let's, for simplicity's sake, let's say Rabbi Yisrael Salanter ordained the Mesillas Yesharim, which was written by the Ramchal, as a Sefer Yerushalayim. That's a Sefer that people should learn. Clearly, so many Sifrei Chasidus are Sifrei Yerushalayim. Not to say that there isn't the Mekubalim say that the Mesillas Yesharim is Kulei Kabbalah. You know, we look at it as a Musarbich, but it's Kulei Kabbalah because it was written by the Ramchal. And it's actually, if you know the history, the Rabbanim in the time of the Ramchal forbade him to write any more Kabbalah Sfarim. That was what was going on in his times, in Padua, in Italy, and then in Amsterdam. So he wrote the Mesillas Yesharim because it wasn't a Kabbalah Sefer, and in there he hid so many Yesodas of Kabbalah. So maybe when we finish Nefesh HaChaim, we shall learn Mesillas Yesharim Apiyah Kabbalah. It's like a very interesting thing to do. But Sifrei Chasidus are overtly full of Inyanei Kabbalah, but it's all about Chizuk HaLevavos, what the Baal Shem Tov and the Talmidim wanted to do was to be Mechazik, the Yerushalayim of the people, of the Am. So we're not so much talking about Yerushalayim, which is obviously good to have all the time. That's a passing the Torah of Yerushalayim Elokecha. But we're talking about as a how it ties into Limud HaTorah and learning Sifrei Yira. So now let's look a little bit at the words, and I'm going to, instead of my usual philosophy lessons here, I just want to give a little bit of a history lesson today, which is important. But if you look at Shaar Dalet Parakhes, please look inside if you can. Amnan dun mi nanami. We need to understand mi inyan shnei ha-mesholim Shim Shilu Zichreinam Livracha, regarding the two Mishalim that we just spoke about. The Oitzer, which is the Keli, and the Kav Chamotim, preservatives. Binyana Torah ve'ayira, as Torah juxtaposes with Yira, it's through the Svar. Hepech me'asher shagu b'zakab merabos b'nei amenu, and I want to posit exactly the opposite of what so many people say, and that's what we need to know. What do so many people say? Shekoivim kol esek limudam b'sifrei Yira u'musar levad. Now, it's interesting. Shekoivim kol esek limudam b'sifrei Yira u'musar levad. What they do is, that's the whole thing. That's what he's against. You'll see, let's say, he was probably talking about the Hasidim. But if you look in the Hasidic world, there are people who learn Hasidus every day, fartugs, all that. And there are people that are miyuchad that they learn only Hasidus. There's such a thing. That's all they do is learn Hasidus. In other words, it's kilu like, now it's not encouraged unless you're, Mali Shas and Poiskim. But the point is that's it's their ikir. And this is what Rav Chaim Volozhin is very against, this idea of learning only Sifrei Yira U'Musar. Sifrei Yira U'Musar. Shtei Dvarim. Yira U'Musar. Shekemoi b'inyin kedimas ha'oitzer l'tvua shebesoicha. Because just like you have to have an oitzer, a keli, to put in the tvua. The tvua is the Torah. V'chiyale klal aleva adam, would anybody ever think, are you going to dedicate your life to building yourself an oitzer for the tefuah? Obviously not. The point of the oitzer is that it holds the tefuah. How could you possibly say, he says, that the tachlis of a Jew is to learn only Musar? She has him kol kviyas limuda bevinyan oitzer shel Yerushamayim levad. In other words, Yerushamayim is only a keli. Or, vuhu oitzer reik. Can't be. V'lei oitzer also biyadai mikol amalei rak mitzvah achas shel Hashem alekechotira v'gam ein oleo shem oitzer klal. And even that is not an oitzer. If you're just doing Yerushamayim, maybe you're makai the mitzvah of Yerushamayim independently, but it's not an oitzer. Like Kivna Rabbi Seinu Zichreinim Levracha, B'mamarim Zal, and now he's Miyashiv Astir and Chazal before we go into it. Chazal say, Ein Loila Kodesh Baruch Hu Elo Oitzer Shul Yura Shemayim Bilvat. So first of all, look at the diuk of Oitzer Shul Yura Shemayim. But that's all Hashem has. So it's mashma that's a good thing unto itself. You don't need anything else. Ein Loila Kodesh Baruch Hu just build the Oitzer, just have Yerushamayim. Mashma like the Musarniks. So he says, they're not talking about Chazal. We're talking about a Yira, which is an independent value. They're talking about having a Yira, which is holding within it all kinds of crop. Mikra, Mishnah, Halachais, Sharei and Yanei HaTorah. Hayira he oitzer matoiv, u'mishameres she is kaimotzli. The oitzer, the yira, is helping to keep the Torah there. Now, it shouldn't get faripished. Aruchim u'shnunim b'fiv. It should be clear. Harusim aliach luach liboy. Ma'ishemuchach u'muchar ma'she'amru. And here Amiyashiv says nefesh achayim chazal of ein loy lakosh baruch hol dalan hamishal halacha bolvat. So which is it? Is it Dalet Amishal Yerushamayim, or is it Dalet Amishal Halacha? And the answer is, it's a Dalet Amishal Yerushamayim, which has in it the Dalet Amishal Halacha.
Rabbi, how do you learn the line? Ein Lakadosh Baruch Hu, and El Oitzer Shal Yerushamayim. How do you read that line now, according to
the... It means, like, if you are driving down, you know, route one in the Catskill Mountains, and you see a beautiful farm with a beautiful silo. So you say to yourself, I love that silo. Obviously, you only love the silo because it represents the produce that's in it and everything that's there. It's not, nobody likes a silo, you know. So the point is to have a silo. So that's what he means, that I love that storage bin of Torah, which is called Yerushamayim. So if you're looking at it from the outside, So Hashem loves the Yerushalayim. If you're looking at it from the inside, he loves the Torah. And that's how you're Miyashiv the Stira.
In other words, because it's not a silo if it doesn't have the Torah inside.
It's not a silo. It's a garnished. What is it? What is it? Which is very, very strong words, by the way, to say the Yerushalayim is not an independent mila is a very strong and very negative statement. And that's why I want to focus that really what he's talking about is when you make that into your whole life is your Shemayim, Sifrei Yira. That's, I'm a Musarnik, you know, like I'm learning Musar, and you're not using the Musar properly. So it's like eating a bunch of preservatives. Instead, you know, you're going to eat preservatives instead of eating food. No, the food has to have preservatives, but you don't just eat preservatives. That's not the
preservatives will kill you.
They'll kill you. So I was thinking not exactly the same thing, but I used to, you know, they have these pills that you take before a fast day. And you take the pill and you don't get hungry, right? What's it called? Tzom kol or something like that. So it's a gevaldik, you know, if you take it before the fast, before Tisha B'Av, and you don't get hungry on Tisha B'Av. So l'chaira, you could take it just every day, and then you don't have to eat anymore. Finish. Like, you know, take two pills and you don't have to eat. So the answer is nishkin etza. You need to have nutrition. You need to have etza. So whatever it's doing, it's doing. I'm not sure the chemistry of it. But the point is that it doesn't replace food. So just to have a beautiful Eitzer is not the issue. I want to, you know, because I tend to get pulled off on tangents. Let me just finish the word so we know we finished the parakas. B'chayadua b'sherish hadavar. It's known in the sherish hadavar, inyan shnei abachina shel Torah v'yir shamayim b'midas el yonim, that if you look at the spheroids of Keser, Chesed, Vura, Tiferes, Netzachoyd, Yesoyd, Malchus. If you look at that whole picture of the Sfiras that we're so familiar with because it's Sfiras Omer, and you can look at my book. Where do Torah and Yerushalayim fit on that chart? And we've spoken about this, but here he says it again. Shebechinas Hayira Leisle Megarmei Klum. He alluded to this in Perek Vav, that Yira, Leislemer Garmei Klum, has nothing of its own. We spoke about it on Sunday. It means that, what that means is another word, a way of saying that Yira, Yerushalayim, is a kinoi for Malchus. Yeah? So you have, it's the same thing. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzachoy, Disoid, Malchus. Everything gets stored in the Malchus. Malchus is this world. When we're davening every day for Mashiach to come, what we're looking for is, what we're waiting for is not only that there should be peace and there should be harmony and there should be Torah and there should be awareness of Hashem, yes, but what we're saying is that it should be here, not in the world of Malachim, but it should be here. That's what the Mashiach is going to accomplish. Mashiach is going to accomplish Shamalchus Shachahi, Malchus. So the world is a place of Malchus. The thing about Malchus, as I mentioned many times, is Malchus in the Midos, Ein Loi Megarmei Klum. It's not supposed to have its own self-interests, Malchus. Wow, Mashiach will be really good for my garden. Once you put a self-interest, it's all about Hashem. Once you put a self-interest in it and it's not about Hashem, you know, Mashiach Zol Shein Kum and I should have a Refuah Shleima. Emes that we'll have a Refuah Shleima, but real Malchus is Leislei Megar Mei Klum. We become Abdei Hashem like Malachim. Good, bad, but it's Leislei Megar Mei Klum. So Malchus, or the world, is a very thin-walled item. I mention this point all the time. So too, in the Zohar, it says, the Yira Leislei Megar Mei Klum. The Yira is the same thing. Sof kol sof, that's what he means. Yerushalayim, you have to have Yerushalayim. But the Yerushalayim is a keli to do other things. Meaning, if you think about it, let me just say it in my words. Yerushalayim is not a something. Yerushamayim is a lishma, a lack of self-interest, a lack of ego, a lack of putting yourself into the picture completely. So when there's Yerushamayim, so automatically it's leisalei mergar meklum. That's the whole taich of Yerushamayim. Do you understand this? This is a bit of a tricky idea. Meaning that the word Yerushamayim is synonymous with lishma. Torah that doesn't have Yerushamayim, let's say, is synonymous with Torah shaloi lishma. What am I learning Torah if I don't have Yerushamayim? Learning Torah to almanashiyik, almanashiyamid, lefan of all the cases in the Gemara. So when we're talking about Yerushamayim, we are talking about Malchus, but we're also talking about Lishma. And this puts together, by the way, this two sentences that I just said, puts together the entire Nefesh HaChaim from at least the beginning of Shar Gimel, but possibly from Shar Aleph until what we're learning now. Because there he went through the Olamos, he went through Lishma and Shaloi Lishma. He went through everything to get to this point that ultimately... what we're talking about is lishma, that I have no self-interest over here. I'm doing this because I want to learn Torah. I'm doing it because this is my job as a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So when I'm doing that, I am Malchus, Ihi Malchus, Lashon HaZayar, Ihi Malchus, Ihi Yira Tata, the Ihi Yira Ilah. That's the Lashon of Desire. That is Gufa Yerushamayim, and it all has the one common denominator of no walls. Leislei Megar Meklum.
That sounds like it's an end process, Malchus, but what about Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem? Where does the Yiras Hashem come in the Reishis?
It's very good, actually, because now we're saying that not only the Yerushamayim comes in two places. First place, it comes in the Reishis. You can't begin to fill up your neshama with Torah until you first have Yerushamayim and you make a proper kli. Ki yadua b'chol sifrei chassidus, that if you're not a kli, then what are you doing? It's I was saying that, you know, that if it rains on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, so ani Hashem reifecha, so skula for refuah, and the mekubalim went outside and they drank that water. So I'm not a mekubal, but I also went outside because it was raining. I was chodesh iyar, and I said, "Let me get some of that water." And I opened up my mouth after chapicha v'amaleu. And you want to know something? Bad kli, nothing came in. It's a very, very difficult, a very, very shver baisa. Like, you know, you need to have a good kli before you can start to gather up all the brachas. So I'll give you another example. By the way, I think this is a very good mashal. Besides for Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, but the Chazal say in Pirkei Avos that Ein Lecha Kli Machzik Bracha Kemoi Hashalom. Right, so comes out a very interesting thing that Shalom. We all know what Shalom is. It means so many different things. But Shalom is not a thing, say Chazal. Shalom is not a thing like coffee is a thing. Shalom is a kli. Ein lecha kli machzik bracha. In the shalom, you put stuff. And of course, we all understand this intuitively, that if you have a lot of money, if you have a lot of, you're surrounded by luxury, you're surrounded by beauty, but you don't have shalom, you can have the greatest meal in the world, but if you don't have shalom, you don't enjoy that meal, you don't enjoy that money. So that's the pasuk of Shan Chazal of Ein lecha kli machzik bracha. The Gaon in Pirkei Avos, Vilna Gaon, he says that, look at, and by the way, this is brought, if you have a Siddur Agra at the end of Sim Shalom, by the Brach of Sim Shalom in Shmoneh Esrei, he brings there from the Avnei Eliyahu, which is the Gra. He says there that let's be medayik and understand that Shalom is a Kli, and the Kli is a kli of selflessness, of no ego. So you want to have bracha, what really Chazal are saying to you here, and it's so potent, if you want to have bracha, stop being in it for yourself. If you sit with your wife, and, oh, we have bracha, you satisfy me, I satisfy you. a food company, whatever it might be. You do not have a skula for shalom. You have a business relationship. But if it's all about, shalom, meaning if I can, and it's ironic in the sense that it's paradoxical almost, because what happens is the more I lessen my own needs, and that's not the emphasis, the more my needs are fulfilled. So it's an irony, which is beautiful. So, if you want to have, so less is more. That's what we have here. So ein lecha kli machzik bracha shalom. So shalom is also one of those things which is a kli, and it's lessening of oneself, and it's also in the lashon of the Zohar that shalom is malchus. So you see, malchus is not one thing. Shalom malchus. That's why it comes at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, malchus. So that's the end. In other words, take to the ground. So what we're learning here is really from Chazal a very deep thing, and that is that when you get literally right down to it, what you want to have is the leislei megar meklum, and then gevaldik, all the bracha comes in, all the Torah comes in, everything comes in. So this is everything, all the happiness can come when I'm not in it for my happiness.
And is it accurate to say that it's something that can't be achieved directly? So like what you were saying before, that it's not a thing. It's the result of, he seems to be saying, it's a result of some kind of hatsana.
Thank you. Thank you. No, well said. And now the question is, what to do? What is my relationship with? Let's think about it very clearly. We're sort of like out of the politics, our group, and for that matter, our generation. So let's just think about it like conceptually. What is Sifrei Yira? What are they doing here? What's their purpose? When should they come? When should they be learned? And what about people that do only that? So first, let me just finish as I promised this paragraph. A Yira leislei migarmei klum ki hi nikiya ba. It comes clean. Clean. Rak shehi oitzer beis kibul hashefa elyon mibchinas hatar. Couldn't be more clear, correct? I mean, it couldn't be more clear than this. It's all it is a beis kibul hashefa. It's mekabel the shefa elyon mibchinas hatar, which comes to us as Torah, brought to us from our sponsor God as Torah. We spoke about this last week. I just want to clarify something. In the next parak, which I'm not going to read right now, and we're going to go through it fast on Sunday, he talks about that it is mutter sometimes, if you're having a hard time with your shemayim, to stop your learning. Here, if you look, I want to explain something here, just a little bit of history, which I said I wanted to. It's interesting. Musser, Sifrei Musser, he's against, just lashing here. He writes here a lashon that he's against, certainly against learning Sifrei Musser too much, but he's altogether doesn't like the whole idea. Let me explain what he likes and what he doesn't like. Again, everybody likes Yerushalayim. The Gra, the Balatanya, the Baal Shem, everybody likes Yerushalayim. And the question is what its place is. Like everything, something is a tool, and you can get carried away with the tool. So I think what was happening in the time of Nefesh HaChaim was that he was worried, b'shem Hagra, that the Sifrei Chassidus are simply going to take over. Meaning it's nice, it's geschmack, it's spiritual, you feel good with it, and you're not going to learn Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos. I think that was his fear, so he was trying to put that in its place. I just want to give both an evolution and a mashal. If you look in the history svarim, There's a beautiful, beautiful sefer. You can download it for free nowadays. I know it's a chachma. Everything's free, but you can get all the svarim you want. But there's a sefer called Pulmus HaMusar. So there's a 4-volume set called Tznuas HaMusar by Rabbi Katz. And then he wrote a separate volume, not part of that set, called Pulmus HaMusar. And there he documents the, it's good read it, it's a good read. He documents the history of Machlokas when it came to Musar. Now today in yeshivas, every yeshiva, every Litvish yeshiva learns Musar. They have their 25 minutes Seder and they learn Musar, whatever they learn. It's the Machlokas doesn't happen anymore. In Brisk, by the way, they don't learn Musar Beshita. It's a bit of a shocking thing. Not that they don't have Yerushalayim, but they don't learn Musar. But just more recent history was Rabbi Shaul Salanter, when he was the Rav of Vilna. Just a very brief history here. He was the Rav of Vilna during the Magefa that they had there, similar to what we're having now, but it was a cholera epidemic. So he told people to eat on Yom Kippur. And the Rabbanim were upset with him because he didn't consult with them, and he made Kiddush and Shul famously in Vilna. He was the Rav of Vilna. He made Kiddush and Shul on Yom Kippur after Kol Nidre, and he told everybody they're chayiv to eat because the resistance has to be up high, otherwise you're going to die of cholera. That's what he said. Whether he was right medically or not right, is not my tchum. The doctors online can help us. But that's what he said. The Rabbanim got angry, and they threw him out of Vilna. So we went from being the Rav of Vilna to which was the Beit Shemesh of Europe. He became from the Rav of Vilna. He went to being in Golos, and during that Golos time, he founded the Musar movement, as we know it, based on Rav Zundel Misalant and other things. And he felt that he was not treated properly. People are not being treated properly. There has to be a big chizuk in Beit Olam L'Chaveroi. So it wasn't just Yerushalayim. There has to be a big chizuk in Beit Olam L'Chaveroi and a big chizuk in Yerushalayim. And he felt that altogether things were Shalai L'Shma. He went, he was a gadol. He was a gaon in Torah. It was a big gadol. He went to Volozhin, which he had learned in originally, and he presented himself there as the Mashkiach of Volozhin. This was a new idea. There was no Mashkiach in Volozhin. There was no Mashkiach in the world. He invented the idea of a Mashkiach in the yeshiva. There was no such thing. So he went to Volozhin Yeshiva, and he said, he proposes the idea of a Mashkiach. And the Netziv, who was the Rosh Yeshiva at the time, was thought it through and thought it through and thought it through, and he diplomatically said to him, well, you're such a gaon, so if you're the Mashkiach, then there's no need for a Rosh Yeshiva, and I'll leave. So when he said that, the Rabbi Shaul Salanter left. And there's a whole history, a fascinating history of Rabbi Shaul Salanter, which was always surrounded by controversy. It's interesting, the future Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin, Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, who then went on to Brisk, he became against Musar Beshita. And here's what happened. As the Musar movement began, and then moved on to Rabbi Shaul Salanter was Nifter, and there was, Navardik and Slabotka and Kelum, you know, those kind of places, and the Beis HaMusar. So, it became big. What happened is, and I'm making a long story short, but this is the story, it became a thing. Now, here you hear Dan, this is the point. It became a thing. Meaning, like, they got so, there was a, the Kovner Koilel had 800 Younger Light in it, and they had a room, which was a Beis HaMusar, and there you go, you reserved places, a time, and you went into this Beis HaMusar. Sometimes there was Shmuzin, sometimes there was Hispoidetus, dark room with a candle, all that. And the Koilel Younger Light would only get paid if they spent X amount of time at the Beis HaMusar. So, understandably, there was a huge rebellion. Another thing that was going on was the Haskalah movement. So the Haskalah movement, and this is important, let's just go back also again a generation, that in Volozhin, Jews, for the most part, couldn't afford or weren't allowed to go to universities. So there were great intellectuals. They could have been great mathematicians and great philosophers and great doctors. But for the most part, Jews couldn't, not they didn't, and not like, you know, but they couldn't go to university even if they wanted to. And they had this, they weren't workmen, water carriers. They were intellectuals, particularly in the Lita. So what they did, what the parents did, is they sent the kids to Valozhin. Valozhin was an institution of higher learning and great intellectual pursuit. And by going to Valozhin, they were exercising their brain and becoming really good at something and proficient in something. And, and then there was a big movement to bring secular education into Valozhin. Everybody knows that story. But I just want to stick to my story. And what it did is it attracted, Valozhin started to attract a lot of maskilim. So on the one hand, you had, all the gedolim that came from Valozhin. Rav Kook came from Valozhin. And on the other hand, you had Bialik. Came from, it's not like Bialik went off to Derech. He was a maskil. those were maskilim, and there were many, many of them. If you know the early Zionist movement and you study this, it's actually quite fascinating how the whole maskala movement, what it turned into, and it broke into different places. That in itself is an interesting thing. It got, let's fast forward to the time of Slabodka, where the altar of Slabodka was Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel. There was such a controversy about Musser that there was a rebellion in the yeshiva, and they all started to learn Torah like Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos. Bekoil in the middle, every time the altar of Slabodka gave a shmuz. Can you imagine? They were screaming at the tops of their heads, Omar Rabbeinu Tam, while he was trying to give a Musser shmuz. And ultimately, that was the rebellion of the Bachrim, okay, I don't want to give it any modern names, but that was what was going on in Slabodka. Slabodka. And in Nevardik. But the altar of Slabodka, Ad Kedei Kach, he got thrown out of the yeshiva and he was no longer the Rosh Yeshiva Slabodka. So it's a mistake in history to think that Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel was the altar of Slabodka, that's why they called him that, but he wasn't the Rosh Yeshiva Slabodka anymore. And he went and he started his own yeshiva, took 60 bachrim with him, called Knesset Yisrael. And Knesset Yisrael eventually morphed into Hebron and Hebron, and then Hebron Yerushalayim. That's what it was. It was a different yeshiva. And there was machlokes about the Musar movement. At that time, and this is what's fascinating, some gedolim were for him, but many of the Bachrim, which were the big Talmidei Chacham and the Iluyim, were against him. And he was like the head of the Musar movement. And they were not maskilim, but they felt that the purpose of yeshivas should be to learn Torah, not to better our midos and better our yerushalayim. There's a curriculum. You don't want to go to Lahavdil, Harvard University and learn how to be a mensch. It's not the purpose of it. They went to the different rabbanim, and everybody was against the Musar movement. And the big one who was against the Musar movement was Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim Brisker said that if you learn Torah and if you have your Shemayim, you don't have to learn Musar. He was writing, there's a letter in Bircha Shmuel of Reb Baruch Ber, where Reb Baruch Ber writes against a group in Kovna maybe, but he wrote a letter against a group that set themselves in a room privately for 40 days and 40 nights and learned only Choyvus Halvavus. And Reb Baruch Ber writes, like, Shoymu Shamayim on such a thing. How could there be such a thing? So, and by the way, this story is told, I heard it bits and pieces, but it's all put together in this book, Pulmus HaMusser, and it's reliable. One of here's what comes Liyameinu, which is, this is almost not an issue any longer, but it helps us understand the Nefesh HaChaim, that The Chafetz Chaim, everybody holds it a Chafetz Chaim. So the Chafetz Chaim came out and he said, there should be Musar. There should be a Musar Seder. There was a Machlokes in Radin itself, and he said there should be a Musar Seder. And that sort of like changed the scene. That was a paradigm shift, and that got us where we are today. So everybody started to learn Musar in yeshivas because the Chafetz Chaim said so, except for Brisk, because they came from Reb Chaim Brisker. And the Hasidim were learning Hasidus. They didn't have to learn Musar from their point of view, although they do learn, Hasidim also learn Chayvus Havavos, and they also learn Mesillas Yesharim. It's not true that they don't learn Musar. But maybe it's not a seder in the yeshiva. Maybe that could be. So here's like the interesting thing, liyamenu. First of all, you understand that in the time of the Nefesh Chaim, which was earlier than all of this, you could see even then that Musar was taking over. And in a sense, he took the tzad of the maskilim, which is fascinating. By the way, this all ties in with, you know, the early Zionist movement and the Choyv of Eitz Zion. It's all tied in. It's all tied in. I leave it to you. But in a sense, he took their tzad. Why? Because he did feel that what was important is that Chaval Lashon should be Torah and only Torah. And yes, you have Yerushalayim. He's written a whole book about Yerushalayim. But not to be an academy of Yerushalayim. Not to be a Seder Alimud of Yerushalayim. And that's where he was against Sifrei Yira. So I want to just say before we end two things. And I'm hoping you're appreciating my history lesson, even though it's not the straight into the Nefesh HaChaim. But first of all, what's important to know is that when they talk about Yerushalayim and Sifrei Yira, they're not talking about a Gadata. This idea of skipping, you know, learning Gemaras and skipping the Agadata is simply silly. There are no Gedolim anywhere in history that said to do that. Not the Gra, not the Baal Shem Tov, not the Sfardim, nobody. Everybody says you learn a Masechta, you go straight through. So why do they skip it in yeshivas? Because yeshivas are not about learning Torah. So yeshivas are about learning how to learn Torah, and there's a certain curriculum, and the curriculum has to do with seven or eight sugyas in seven Masechtas that are teaching us how to learn, and it's very, very valuable to learn Migo and Yehush Lomidas and Yehush Midas. But it's got nothing to do with learning Torah. Like, you know, it's learning Torah. Nothing to do, I'm sorry, that's kind of sharp. But in other words, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I remember once hearing him say that, you know, until 20 you learn how to learn. When Svansik, heaped on learning. You know, like, of course you have to learn everything. I think I saw here, let me just take a minute of your time. Chazon Ish writes in the Igrois Chelek Aleph Simen Tesvav, Nirtoyim Anachnu Lishmoya, he says, I'm shaken up by hearing Hatolas Sufik B'divrei Chazal Bein Bahalacha Bein Bahagada. To make any kind of distinction at all in learning Torah between Halacha and Agada. V'hi kishmoshal Giduf Rachman Olazan, Zapokarsis. If you say, oh, that's an agadata, that's a koifer b'divrei chazal. Ushchitasei nevela, if he shecht something, it's treif. Upasa le'edus, v'oid. V'loi loimar, says the Chazon Ish, lamadati halachis v'dai. Kim shamar tishmarunas kol ha-mitzvah, as I say, kol ha-mitzvah hu limud halachis v'hagadais, etc. It's interesting, so we shouldn't get mixed up. Like, you know, like with the hardcore halacha and the softer part, if you will. Agadata is harder to understand than halacha. If the only reason not to learn agadata is because maybe we don't understand it clearly, you need a good rebbe to learn agadata. But it's certainly valuable. But that's not the Sifrei Yira we're talking about. So I just want to show you that the Chazon Ish in the Sefer Emunah B'Tochen, same Chazon Ish, in Sefer Emunah B'Tochen, which is a little safer on Emunah B'Tochen, so there he writes, it's in, I have it here, Emunah B'Tochen, Perek Gimel Sifkat Yud Ches, let the record note. So he writes that he's extremely against Limud HaMusar. Chazon Ish, extremely against Limud HaMusar. So nobody knows what to do with this Chazon Ish, because we like the Chazon Ish. He's our man. Nobody knows what to do with him. He's very against. So here's a very interesting thing. He says that in Rebellion Lapian, who was the Mashkiach, meaning he was from the Musarniks, he was the Mashkiach of Yeshivas Kfar Hasidim. So he said, "Asur Lilmait Sefer Zebi Yeshivasenu." Rebellion Lapian said, "You're not allowed to learn the Chazon Ish. This Sefer the Chazon Ish." And talk about other Svarim of the Chazon Ish. This Sefer of the Chazon Ish. So he writes here, this is a Sefer called Eitzer Samusar. He says, Amar Li Harav Binyamin Zilber, if you're my age, you remember him. He was one of the Gedolim of Bnei Brak, a big Paisik, Rabbi Yehoshua Zilber, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. So he's explaining Rabbi Yelap Bian. And he says, Shemuna betach nichta betzirusa shel Chazanish. This Chazanish wrote it when he was still young. You like this? Vein suffix shachar kach hayu mishana mashakos of a sefer. If he would have rewritten the book when he was older, he would not have written that he's against Musar. The truth is, the Ibn Abitachan, somebody found the Ksav Yad of the Chazanish and printed it. It's not something that he published in his lifetime. But nearly Shayadeya, so he says here, Rabbi Damazir, Hayadeya told us, Yimei Amenu, if you know the history, Ve'inyan Pulmas HaMusar, which was an expression, Shi'ira Barusya Zman Kotzer Lifnei Atkufa Ba'a Chazanish, if you would have understood the period that was during the time of Chazanish in Russia, and in Europe, you would understand why he wrote this. Shekein hayu me'akitzen is Rabbi Yehoshua Zilber. By the way, Rabbi Yehoshua Zilber in Bnei Brak, when I was a kid, he was called Rabbi Yehoshua Tzadik. And he wrote Sfarim on Hilchos Shabbos and Tshuvos, Oz Nidburu. He wrote beautiful Tshuvos. But he writes here that hayu me'akitzenim bale musar shenisu lihistagir sheva shonim, better than what I said before, 7 years, lilmud kol hayom chayvus havavus, a 7-year program of learning only chayvus havavus, v'loy shum limud acher, v'oid hayoz berusia koilol avreichim, there was a koilol before some, koilol avreichim, shum chilku es kaspei atzmicha, he's saying over what I said, l'fi madad shomihu akavei itim bebeis hamusir, HaChazanish rotza la'biya b'maymorei hanal shlo yitachin godol b'musar yimeinana godol b'avayis d'abaye v'rova. So the Chazanish was coming off that movement. And this is a lesson in the Musar Haskell, I think, for all of us, for me especially. That, you know, it's extremely important to when you take out these very strong, shitas of the gedolim of previous generations, to understand the context in which they were said, in the context in which they, a lot of times those things are reactions. You know, it's, and you got to be very careful because if you don't understand them as reactions or eslas eslashem, a favorite secha, or just things that are for now, history will make a very big mistake because you'll get tripped by history into doing things which are not the ratzon Hashem. I believe that we live amongst all kinds of things that we do, minhagim. We can make a list of things which you can't say, well, that's the minhag. Let's say, you know, God willing, this whole corona thing will be over. So my minhag is to daven on my porch with my slippers on. That's what my father did, and that's what I'm going to do. You know, our minhag is not to shake hands. We don't shake hands in shul. So, I mean, it's you have to know. Maybe we'll never shake hands again. I don't know. Nobody knows exactly what's going to happen. But, like, we got to be careful that what all the Gedolim and Rabbanim are saying now, I just went through last night, I read through, there's a 90-page kuntras of Rav Asher Weiss. And he writes in the Hagdama, he says, I'm saying Torah, I'm saying Piskei Halacha, but you should read this, Mamash, you should read this. But he says that not to take it like, you know, this is according to this moment, and even mitoch the Corona, it's called kuntras ha-Corona, even mitoch the Corona, things are changing from day to day. So I'm telling you the halacha for today. So what's interesting here, I'm just getting back l'inyaneinu with this, I'm ending, that the Chazanish was against Musar, but he wasn't against Musar. The Chafetz Chaim was for Musar. The Chazanish was a Talmud of Reb Chaim Brisker and the Chafetz Chaim. He wrote Gil Yonas Chazanish al Reb Chaim. So he knew Reb Chaim very, very well, who was against Musar, but this was all a political, if you will, against something becoming too extreme at its time. And I think, by the way, which is not Nogea today. It's not Nogea. Nobody's getting so extremely involved in Musar, maybe some cat someplace, but it's not the real thing. And it's the same thing with Hasidus. You know, all the machoikis that took place against Hasidus, and, you know, it was all because it was becoming too much of a thing. So let me end up with this, that it's all Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim leislei megarmei klum. It's not supposed to become a thing. It's supposed to be the keli and the preservatives which help us grow. And if you just keep that perspective, then you can do what I attempt to do, and it's a really good thing. I want to give this over, usually, that you can become, try to become a Baki in Musar, try to become a Baki in Chassidus, try to become a Baki in Ben Ish Chai. So many drachim of your Shemayim and of Torah and of learning that, you know, you're free. We're emancipated. And you don't have to be stuck in a machlokes of the War of 1812. You don't have to do that. Okay, that's my political recording for today. Everybody should have a Yom Tov and a good Shabbos, and we'll meet Amir Tashem on Sunday. By the way, davening in our...